I'm Hannah Kofferman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vesthazen.
And we are...
The Fuckboy Podcast!
So for all you first-timers out there, we at the Fuckboy Podcast delve into some of the most iconic, reprehensible and shaggable fuck girls, fuck boys and folk.
No one is safe.
We raise our screens, novels and history books and ask why.
This week, we're back to the pop culture classic, marching our Manolos back to Manhattan for the Sex and the City reboot. And just like that.
And of course, we'll be hearing your salacious listener stories at the end of the episode.
But first, how are we?
You're good.
Not bad. It feels like spring today.
It doesn't Imbolc. We're recording on Imbolc.
Okay, Kath, tell me, what exactly is Imbolc?
It's like the point between winter and spring.
So it's nice.
Characteristic of Imbolc is like you see the snowdrops coming up when you're in the forest, the bulbs you know are going to come
crocuses.
Up soon, the crocuses, yeah. So it's that sign of like, okay, we're in that tipping point.
Where we start moving
into the next season, yeah.
And what do you do to prepare for Imbolc?
It's the festival of Bridget, so you light a candle.
I think
in Christianity they call it Candlemas.
Sure.
So you light a candle to welcome in the sun.
I love a low-level ceremony. Like, I can do that. But it's like, now get some, like, cumin and some...
Rub it on your pussy.
...of your great-grandma's ashes. We were going in different directions.
It's my kind of ceremony.
Yeah. You were Beltane, you were Samhain, Hannah. Yeah.
Guys, have either of you been on any good Hinge dates recently?
I mean...
Catherine?
No. I have not, because I am just the worst replier in the entire world. I just can't do it. It'll be like a week and then I'll be like, oh, Hinge, fuck.
Yeah.
And then because you don't have notifications, right?
No, not on anything.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I have to remember that I have an app to use it.
It's a miracle you reply to us.
Do I?
I don't have notifications on either.
Bloody hell.
I know. When you text me,
yeah,
it's like... Oh my God, this is incredible. Because I actually, that's the only thing I have notifications on for because no one ever uses it.
Good to know.
So when that comes to, I know, I love it. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I know.
Well, I find it quite stressful. There's too many platforms.
Do you? Yeah.
Can't keep track. I was actually texting someone from Hinge and I sacked it off because I was like, oh, this is too stressful.
Too much.
Either WhatsApp me or out on Hinge. No, texting them by iMessage and I was like, this is too much.
Oh.
My commitment phobia is strong.
So for you, it's like full on WhatsApp.
That's WhatsApp or get out.
If you want Hannah, you got to WhatsApp her.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at what level do you go, let's get off Hinge and onto WhatsApp?
Mm.
Or do you go... via Instagram?
I generally will meet up with the person before, even.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or, like, it won't be until we're organising the date.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because otherwise it's just too much faff.
Yeah.
You know. And also, I don't want them creeping around my social media or anything before then.
But can they not just find you on social media?
No, because my surname is not on Hinge.
So you're just Hannah.
Yeah, and also what's really weird is several times I've been on dates with people and they'll start Googling me at the table, to which is always a red flag, and I'm like, that's really cringe.
But also check out my wiki feed.
Actually, let's not check out my wiki feed. Apparently it's run by a really dodgy bloke.
Wiki feed, is it?
Apparently. But that doesn't surprise me.
Obviously.
Yeah. Honestly.
It's no surprise.
I'm so glad that you brought up Hinge because genuinely, the amount I have been talking about and just like that on Hinge is absurd. It's like a really divisive thing. There's one particular topic that has honestly made me start or stop talking to certain people.
I think I know what topic you're talking about.
Yeah? Okay, well, I mean, let's get into it.
Yes.
And just like that, they began the podcast.
Beautiful work.
So good. I was like, who's going to do it?
Okay, so following on from our past episode on the iconic original series, Sex and the City, please go listen if you haven't already. We couldn't not do this reboot, right?
No.
So from Doctor Who to Gilmore Girls, Sabrina to the L Word, reboots are nothing if not divisive. But really, the online discourse for this show spans countries, genders, and generations, and I am dying to hear what you two think. Obviously, we're discussing the Sex and the City reboot, just like that. And so for those who are living under a rock, it is the 10-part series on HBO, the finale of which is releasing today for anyone who's listening on Thursday, when this comes out. Mm. And it stars three of the four of the original core cast of Sex and the City, all except for, controversially, Kim Cattrall. Mm. Mainly due to some personal drama, which you can hear all about in our original Sex and the City episode.
Yes, you can.
Yama Kippie-Aba.
Yama Kippie-Aba, baby. the reboot. If you don't understand that reference, just Google Kim Cattrall scatting.
It will change your life.
It really will. That's also on my Hinge. Genuinely
good.
Is.
Oh, I love it.
So the reboot is set in 2021, over 15 years after the last series of Sex and the City, and it explores the lives of Carrie, Sarah Jessica Parker, Miranda, Cynthia Nixon, and Charlotte, Kristen Davis, as they navigate their 50s, full of love, loss, podcasting, and wokeness, all while cycling through all of the new cast members as they sort of audition the fourth chair role that is forever haunted by the sexiest ghost to ever be written out, Samantha Jones. Mm-hmm. So, we have so much discourse to cover. I'm just going to start with some simple yay or nay, yes or no.
Oh, fun.
Okay. Are you watching?
Yay.
Yay.
Do you like it?
Yay.
You nay. Hey, that wasn't an option.
Okay, and now I need to hear your top three hot takes from what you have seen thus far.
Okay, so my first hot take is that I want the entire wardrobe of Carrie, even the weird shit.
Okay,
even like the weird enormous white bag that she wears in the ninth episode that makes no sense. I want it.
It's yours.
My second hot take is that I hadn't watched Sex and the City.
Oh, of course.
So like this is kind of my introduction to that world. Carrie talks about herself non-stop.
Once again for the people in the back.
But also equally gets upset about other people doing the same.
Like, oh my god.
Yeah, because she's like, yeah, but my husband is dead. It's like, yeah, we get it, but you know, there has to be space for other people too. Yeah.
Madam narcissist, am I right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Like, when someone close to you dies, it's super sad and, you know, it's difficult to take on other people's problems, but it is kind of constant. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then the third take is that I think someone needs to create a hotline for the people that have been affected by hearing and seeing Miranda's sex noises.
Yeah.
Miranda full stop in the whole series.
Wow. Yeah.
We all need
a loose cannon. A loose cannon.
Please. What are your hot takes, Kath? Is
that
one of them?
My hot takes, that is one of them. My second hot take is the beds are always too small.
The beds are
tiny in the show. Like they're like these sad little beds. They may as well be single beds. Honestly, when you watch, I don't know why I became so fixated on the size of the beds.
Wow. Kath, that does track for you. That really does.
I'm such like a bed, like, oh my god, that's embarrassing. They've got a single.
Bed snob.
Yeah, I am a bed snob.
Did you grow up with a double bed as
a
kid?
No. Like, I can just tell that the reason they've done it is because they need the cameras in. That's why they need the camera in the room.
Little
sardines.
So they
have these tiny little beds, and I'm like, okay, come on. Mm. My third hot take is call an ambulance.
Wait, what was your second hot take?
That was my second. My first is Miranda is deranged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second, the beds. Genuine big problem. Third, call an ambulance when your husband is having a heart attack.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. We will come to that. Bloody hell.
Totally put me off getting a Peloton.
Yeah. Oh, completely.
If you weren't already off Peloton enough.
Or, you know.
From the cultiness.
Now, thank God you can't afford one.
Yeah. I was pro-Peloton
before
I watched And Just Like That. I was that close to clicking the buy button.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Impressive. Mm. And then now, bye-bye.
Goodbye-bye. Very good. Okay, so my three hot takes are justice for the original character of Miranda. Who is this awkward wannabe woke cyborg? I do not know her. Justice for Naya, LTW, and Sarita.
Yes.
Fuck
agreed.
Me. Oh, so bad. And controversially, for the first and probably the only time on this podcast, sympathy for a dude. Justice for Steve.
Everyone's been saying that.
Hashtag Paul Steve.
Yeah, see, I just don't care because I didn't watch the original. So I'm just like, you're just an annoying dude who doesn't make sense.
He's like New York accent, and I'm just
so
like...
so endearing. Yeah. He's like the most likable character in the show.
I know.
Sarita actually is my favorite.
She can... I'm going to say it, guys. Stomp on my neck.
Yeah, she absolutely can stomp on my neck. This is the thing that has actually kept me from dating people on Hinge is, are you hashtag Paul Steve or not? Like, that
and
is
if they're
the
not, you're out on them.
Yeah, it's a compatibility test at this point. No, because I fell out with someone over me not being hashtag Paul Steve. And then I now really regret it because I've changed my mind and I am hashtag Paul Steve.
Can you message them again and just say, look, I've changed my mind?
They were a bit of a dickhead anyway, so actually it's kind of fine. But
are you okay with them?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Like, but I think maybe we fell out about something else, but realistically...
It was for Steve.
It was about Steve. Okay, so for everyone who has or hasn't seen it, some context. We should start at the beginning, right? Episode one with our narrator and core cast member, Carrie. She is in the throes of marital bliss with the OG fuckboy, Big. They are so rich.
They are so stinking rich. Why are they so rich?
Because he's rich.
He's just rich.
Everyone's rich in a reboot. He's like a L-word, finance guy. Have you seen the L-word reboot?
No.
Everyone's so rich. It's just what happens, apparently. They have a beautiful kitchen with no shoes in the oven, but plenty in the walk-in wardrobe, which also features a foreshadowing Peloton.
Mm.
Carrie's living the high life, still relevant due to her woke podcast with the new recurring lead, Che Diaz, played by Sara Ramirez, a queer non-binary comedian with an unabating sex drive and absolutely no jokes.
Not a single joke to be found.
The writer's room did them so dirty on that. Yeah. It's unreal. But look, I will come back to it because honestly, I'm obsessed with how unfunny they are, which is... Ugh.
Okay, I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. But the header is ostensibly it's this. Life is good for Carrie. It's a trope akin to the animated opening of Up, showing us the beauty of Big and Carrie's married life only to end in tragedy. And I'm not talking about the tragic toe-curling masturbation scene. Ooh. I am talking about...
I'm sure
so
that was when he was going to die.
That scene.
It was so uncomfortable.
I sent a text to Hannah like, he's going to die. Don't tell me he has a heart attack while he's wanking. He's not going to have a heart attack while he's wanking.
I thought it was really clever when Carrie went to the... theatre to the concert and Big stayed at home because it kind of felt like he was maybe gonna... I thought he was gonna cheat on her or something because I didn't know that he was gonna die because I hadn't read anything about it. And I thought that was really clever because they almost built it up to be like that.
Yeah,
I just thought that was really, really smart.
Mm. And then, you know, and just like that... Well, actually, no, not just like that. After like 5 fucking minutes... Big die. Big has a stroke in his very, very fancy shower. And Carrie just runs up to him and starts hugging him.
I know. He's still alive when you walk in.
You call an ambulance
and then you do the old heart.
I know.
Thing.
This was another thing I fell out with the same person about because they were saying, oh, you know, you don't know what you would do in that situation. And I was like, sure. But did you see that Jonah Hill posted on his grid permanently... just like a note that said, but why didn't Carrie call 911 immediately? And I was like, if Jonah Hill agrees, I'm on the right side of history.
I am on the right side of history. Yes.
So my question to you two, were you happy with where Carrie was 15 years later? Is that where you anticipated her to be as a character?
Good question.
I feel like, Kath, you should answer this.
I guess I was. I sort of liked that they kind of have kept her quite relevant and that the struggle isn't that like she's... irrelevant aging woman. It's like, no, she's actually, if anything, kind of more relevant than ever. And I really liked that as it was tracked for the character as well. Like, you don't feel like Carrie's someone who's going to get just like shoved to the side.
Mm.
I guess I was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't actually thought about it like that. And that is really true. Like, putting all these women in really pleasant positions is useful and healthy to see for sure.
Yeah.
It was great that they killed off Big.
Oh, thank God.
Because
imagine if he was in it.
Oh, my God.
Awful. I know. Tell you what, though, I was actually not thrilled to see. I mean, I am glad that he's dead for all the reasons that, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
I was a bit annoyed that Carrie's been mourning the whole series.
Yeah, I agree.
I was so excited to see her dating.
I was excited to see her dating, and I really thought in like season three when she went back to her house that she was going to start dating again. And like when
in episode three,
and like when she's talking
really?
About,
I just felt like it's way too soon.
I know, well, they did a time jump. What Sex and the City is.
Yeah, I think because the original nature of the series is them just dating.
So I thought that was what they were going to do.
And it being really funny. Like, funny anecdotes. I'm like, I was living for that. But for people in their 50s.
Yeah.
And I guess none of the characters really had that at all.
No,
they
you
were
kind,
all kind of coupled up.
Yeah. You sort of got a bit of it from the estate agent, but I just like wanted like...
But she wasn't really going on dates. She was just single.
She was like single
She's
and looking for someone. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so meanwhile, the setup for the reboot for our other two leads, we have Charlotte in heavenly heteronormativity and Miranda in hetero hell. Charlotte is still, to everyone's deep shock, blowing her husband.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Although I was like, I hope she is still bloody blowing her husband. Like, I hope. Of course she is. Why are you all so shocked?
But I was shocked. I really? Was so shocked when he was like, while you're down there. I was like, oh my God, is she going to suck his willy?
I would slap someone if they said that to me because it's a horrid lie.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that she's still blowing her husband. I think that's wonderful. And it's delightful to see two people still fancy each other after years of marriage.
Totally wonderful.
Totally.
Especially
so
because,
shocking.
Shocking. Yeah.
Shocking.
Especially because Miranda is in a totally sexless marriage.
Yeah.
Yes.
But bloody hell, those ice cream sundaes, they look
Oh my God, they look absolutely incredible.
They do, but like, don't put don't fucking come at me with chia seeds on an ice cream sundae. Like,
was it frozen yogurt? Or was
I think
ice cream?
It was frozen yogurt, and I was deeply disturbed by the whole thing.
I think it was frozen yogurt with like sprinkles. Like, it was like your Smarties and your chocolate buttons. And
it really upset me. It really upset me because it did not look like a fun dessert.
Really? I thought it looked really fun, actually.
I thought it looked too healthy.
Yeah, I agree. No, I was well into them having multiples.
Yeah, me too. That was really fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
You can pick and choose every night, depending on how you feel.
Finally, we have to discuss that fourth chair. That empty fourth chair. Mm-hmm. Firstly, how do you feel about how they've handled Samantha's exit? Obviously, Hanako, you didn't have Samantha, so maybe you don't know what you're missing, but trust me, I would say...
The piece de resistance.
The piece de resistance.
Oui, oui.
With delicateness, slightly too meta for me.
Slightly too meta.
It's a bit too meta for me. Like, this Carrie and Samantha, I don't know what happened, is a little bit meta.
Just let her die. Do you
just
know what
let
I mean?
Her just die and then bring that energy in with someone else. Yeah. Don't dilute the woman.
I have no idea. I wonder if they've done it because they think she might come back for a cameo at some point.
Yeah, maybe. I actually quite found the meta-ness of it thrilling.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah, because I didn't know how they were going to handle it.
Yeah,
sure. But they kind of really acknowledged it.
Yeah, they really have.
They couldn't not, like I guess. Yeah, and also...
What do you think?
I think they probably should have let it die a little bit earlier. Like, I don't know why they brought her back again.
With the texting.
When Carrie texts her, I miss you, and then she doesn't reply. I was like, that's really doing Samantha dirty. Like, unless Carrie did something much worse, you're painting her to be really petty.
Yeah.
Mm. And Samantha isn't like that. Like, however, they did give her such a brilliant joke when she replies, like, I'm so glad that your vagina's getting airtime.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's maybe the funniest joke of the whole series.
Yeah.
And it's from Cyborg.
Yes.
Like,
it's from a text.
iMessage. Yeah. Miranda. Samantha.
Yeah.
Typical. Now, also, regarding the fourth seat, controversial. Again, all the other characters that they've been auditioning.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
God, there are three...
So weird.
Yeah. There are three new characters that cycle around, teasing us with the potential of them being the new Samantha. We have Dr. Nia Wallace, Miranda's new law professor, played by Karen Pittman. Lisa Todd-Wexley, or L2W, which I love as a name. Charlotte's new pal that she meets... Yeah. That she meets at her child's posh private school, played by Nicole Ari Parker. And then Seema Patel... Good. A high-flying and wonderfully cut-the-crap real estate agent played by Sarita Childry.
Smoking hot. I mean, they all are.
They all are.
Oh my gosh, what do you think?
What do I think what?
Of these characters, their storylines, just give me... I have a
so
feeling...
So underfed.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're
God.
Just like accessories.
Yeah, totally.
They're like, they are like a woman is in a Bond film. Do you know what I mean? Like, they
totally.
Are just accessories to these... Other people, it's very weird.
I just
do
want
they're,
more.
They're like awkward social interactions.
They're
and they're like weird, cringe. Oh, it's actually painful.
But also, their storylines are boring.
Yeah.
Like, Sarita's is not boring, but Naya's storyline about children is so underwritten. It is actually gets to the point where you're like, oh, this is a bit dull.
It's so underwritten. But I also think it's interesting, and, you know, I'm not the best person to be speaking about this, but I think a lot of the time, Black women are pictured to be these very fertile beings. Mm. And I think, actually, from what I've read, a lot of Black women are happy that she's being depicted as someone that is infertile, can't have a baby. So I think on that, you know, for that reason, it's useful and it's good. Yeah. But it needs to be explored more.
Absolutely,
and it needs to be...
That's a series,
it's
right?
It's boring. That's an entire series.
It's boring because you're not emotionally attached enough to Naya. Because she's not getting enough airtime. You're not seeing the ebbs and flows and the nuances of her life. They're just being like, look at her in a really happy marriage. Oh, wait, she can't get pregnant. And that is all you are getting. And it's that thing, isn't it? Being like, when this show is trying to be woke and it's trying to bring in everything and being inclusive, it dips into tokenistic.
Mm,
because
totally.
You don't have to tell every story. You don't have to speak about infertility. I mean, I'm so glad that it is, but it's like, if you're going to do it, maybe honour it better, is the question.
I wonder how it came about. Like, I wonder if there are creators in the room who are like, actually, this is my story, and that's why I'm in this room, and this is what I want to tell, and that's kind of what I'm bringing. I, like, wonder how that room is kind of run and what that looks like.
If Carrie's storyline about her husband passing gets that much airtime,
totally
comparatively, infertility in Naya's case should not be exploited in being so underwritten.
Yeah.
That is my problem.
But it's also like, why do we need this volume of people of colour if you're not going to serve their stories?
Yeah.
Just have one person to fill in Samantha's shoes, who is a person of colour, and make their storyline really interesting.
Yeah. Really rich.
Yeah.
And also, cut that bloody storyline, excuse the pun, of Charlotte's daughter trying to put a tampon in. I don't give a shit.
Are you joking? I love that storyline.
Oh my god, I couldn't care less.
I thought it was hilarious.
Comparatively to the idea of Seema going on a bunch of Tinder dates, sack off the tampon, do not care.
I love the tampon.
I've seen it. I've seen that.
I absolutely loved it. I found it absolutely hilarious.
I just feel like there are other better stories to tell in this program that they've set up, and that was.
But maybe that will come in series two.
Maybe it will. Maybe it will. And they have. Sorry, go on.
Have they greenlit a series two?
I think it's pretty much a given. But they have like
They
have made more seamless sort of inclusivity around gender. I will say that with Rock and Che, they have been.
Yeah.
It's less clunky, but there are some incredibly crass jokes about fatness. And the way they treat Steve for being a bit deaf makes me want to break the TV in half.
Who they? The writers?
Yeah. Like, everyone just finds, like, no, Miranda mainly.
What,
but just
the running joke that Steve can't hear things?
Yeah. And also,
that totally passed me by.
That he's just, like, annoying because he can't hear things.
Yeah. I think it's just because it's so leaned on in the beginning.
Yeah.
Of, like,
That went over my head.
But I'm just... It's just things like that where I'm like, when it's not abundant, when it's nuanced, when we're talking about like disabilities or living with them, or even like Carrie's being like, I've got one foot in the grave, I'm so old. When I'm like, you're so fit, you're so young, you're so rich.
But isn't that how people feel?
Me?
And that's valid, right?
I mean, my mum doesn't.
Yeah, but some people do, surely.
Sure. I just don't know how useful a trope is. I'm just like, I think I find it frustrating.
Like, Samantha was always like, I'm so young, I'm so young, I'm so young, I'm so young. And there's maybe like a gaping lack of Samantha just being so...
accepting of
like,
who she is.
I am fucking gorgeous and I'm 10 years older than you and I am such a sex symbol and I'm so amazing and this and that. And then to maybe just like, it's just such a good part of the show is how
I think,
empowered she is.
Both that and also I think it's that thing of I really miss... Okay, so if we're talking about inclusivity here, Carrie's is that she's 55 because she's rich, she's white. Like, yes, she's a woman, but like that is... And she's straight. So her inclusivity is that she is a 55-year-old woman. And it's so much a trope of her storyline that it bores me. Whereas, like, you look at Euphoria and you're like, all of this is so inclusive, but that is not the nuance of their storylines. Like, Jules like being trans is, that is not their storyline. Like that is not her storyline. Mm. It is part of who she is, but it's not her storyline. And that is the sort of thing I really miss.
It's the age gap, isn't it? It's because these, it's, yeah. you know, the, right, the people right, right. in Euphoria are so young and they've been brought up in a society that's more accepting.
Yeah,
and I feel like
true.
Carrie, because she's older, is entrenched in those old views where 55 feels ancient.
And I guess also like the nature of Sex and the City was like, it really does knock you over the head with the like puns and the quippy like gags. That is the style of the show. But I think that is something where I'm like, I really hope in season two, they can just have people living in there. Experiences rather than being like, and I just woke up and thought maybe I'm old today. Like,
yeah, I do find it clunky. I think that's the nay of my thing is that you know the writing I do sometimes think feels quite laboured and
oh yeah for sure.
But it must be great, you know, like the audiences who are in their like 50s 60s watching it.
I found it such a pleasure to watch older people on screen and not just as a parent or like a
loads of them
a background character all of them and just so lovely
their introduction to like non-binary people and you know like,
which I thought they were really good with.
Yeah, it was nice. There was a moment in the last episode where Steve kind of got the pronouns wrong and I was like thank God someone did finally, because Jesus Christ, everyone's just too woke for me. I'm like, there's no way everyone is this on it. And it was quite nice to see people messing up, like that nuance of it was just a delight.
Totally.
As we can tell, they've written a controversially liberal script, and the wokeness famously dividing the nations. The Twitter discourse is delightful, but there is one topic in particular that has been deliciously divisive and I cannot wait to discuss it. It is obviously Miranda and Chase sex scene. But right after this, here it is. It's the topic that's kept me celibate for weeks now.
Oh, no.
Miranda, Che, that scandalous sex scene and hashtag poor Steve.
Oh no.
So
hashtag someone create a hotline.
Yeah, please. So to recap, start the series, Miranda and Steve no longer make love, they make sundaes with many toppings to compensate.
Oh, lovely bit of business.
Miranda then meets Carrie's boss and co-host on the world's wokest podcast, Che Diaz. I'm sorry, the world's unfunniest stand-up comedian of all time.
Full stop. Awful.
But then it's they so have painful done them when so you dirty. Cut to the audience and they're like pretending to find it hilarious, but they're like visibly uncomfortable.
It feels like a presidential campaign speech.
It's so painful.
It is.
It's awful.
Because they'll be like, love is love, we're all equal. And people are like, ha ha, knee slapping. You're like, no, that's
just facts.
Yeah. It's bizarre. I feel so bad for them.
So weird. They do so much like, look, Che is funny. Look, Che is sexy, which is such a shame because Sarah is fit.
Yeah.
But they, oh my gosh. Okay, so Che is painted as like a sex icon. Every location they are in, people are coming up to them practically tearing their clothes off and frothing at the mouth with lust. It is comical.
Yeah.
It's comical. And maybe I'm just jealous, but I'm like, Jesus. Regardless, Miranda is but mortal and falls deep in lust with Che. And then naturally, you know, Steve, poor Steve, getting on her nerves one Sunday at a time. And because he's also a bit deaf, which seems to be driving her up the wall, a trope which famously hate. Also, Miranda has a drinking problem.
Oh yeah, that was random.
I mean, God, they have packed it into Miranda's storyline.
I forgot about that.
And they've also given her a personality replacement. So Miranda's going through it.
Okay, tell me just quickly, what was Miranda like before and just like that?
I literally, Miranda, this series, painfully clumsy when it comes to navigating conversations about race, awkward about her son having sex, and painful jokes about what compliments you can and can't use with a non-binary person. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
Unacceptable. Yeah. I remember her as this tech-savvy, takes-no-shit lawyer who loved her rampant rabbit and couldn't even go camping because she couldn't have a phone with, like, she couldn't be without a phone. And at the start of this series, she didn't even know what a podcast was. She couldn't grasp the concept of a podcast.
What's going on?
What's going on?
I know. She is more dead. That character is more dead than Samantha. I've said it.
But also, isn't Cynthia Nixon producing this series?
Oh, I don't know.
And she directed an episode.
Maybe Cynthia was like, I want this character to be
queer, yeah.
Well, one, to be queer, but like two, to be struggling and to be like going sure. through shit. Sure.
To represent that person.
Which is totally fair. You know, Miranda had it together. Miranda's storyline was always kind of maybe being like too wound up, things too together.
Yeah.
Mm. To be like, I'm going to play this character, but I want to play a version of her who is just fumbling messy. With life and messy. And, you know, that is a woman that I want to play. Maybe that's what's happened.
Yeah. Which is interesting for an actor.
It feels a shame. It's a lot. And the moment where the drinking stuff, I was just like, what the fuck?
That, like, feels... Okay, I'm still early in the series, full caveat, but feels very weirdly and clumsily handled as less of a Miranda thing and a more of a Carrie Charlotte can fight about this thing.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Oh, boy. You haven't seen the sex scene, but let me get back to it. Okay, so... Miranda and Che, their relationship develops during a hot and heavy moment where Che shotguns a spliff into Miranda's mouth.
Oh my god,
and just like that.
That was quite hot, actually.
No, I disagree.
Yeah, I was into it.
My mum was it. Sorry, mum.
Hi, your mum.
Hi, mum. She does listen. Even she was like, no, that was hot. Yeah. I was like, thank you. Anyway, and just like that, Miranda is besotted. So in episode 5, which Kath hasn't seen yet... the episode's called Painfully Hip because Carrie has a hip replacement, not a hip operation.
Oh my god, her doctor is so hot.
Yeah, we love to see it. Oh no, her...
her physio.
Physio, yeah, very fit. Che turns up to see Miranda when she's looking after Carrie with a bottle of tequila, which is really just a messy recipe for drama.
Yummy, I love tequila.
So, cut to... the most awkward sex scene of all time.
Can I watch it quickly? Or do you want to...
I'm going to give context.
Bit? Okay.
Or maybe block your ears then if you don't want to know what happens.
I think I do.
Okay. So cut to the most awkward sex scene of all time. We cut between the pissed off Carrie and the pissed drunk Miranda as Carrie pisses into a plastic bottle because Miranda, thinking Carrie is sleeping, is too busy getting fingered extremely... loudly in the kitchen.
I mean, hotline.
Yeah. When, whilst Miranda is having a whale of a time, pun intended, Carrie tragically spills her urine all over her, no doubt, Egyptian cotton sheets.
For sure.
And then when Che leaves, Carrie confronts Miranda. So my question... I have a question to pose. Kath, let's have you watch it first and give your reaction, and then I will pose this question.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot to process.
It's a lot, isn't it?
There's a lot happened in that 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
The sex is embarrassing.
The sex is so bad.
Honestly, sounds like Miranda is being murdered.
The sex is so bad. Just like give queer people what they want. Make it
hard. Don't intercut a queer sex scene with someone pissing themselves.
We get so few. We literally make most of them up.
Honestly, we fucking drag ourselves on our knees for a little bit of representation.
See the fan art out there. God. We're desperate.
But then... oh my god, the scene that follows. I actually think, obviously, that sex scene just has everyone flabbergasted.
Dying.
But the aftermath of Carrie, that interaction.
Yeah.
So, okay, my question is, do you think Carrie is being a bad friend in the way that she reacts? And I have the argument for and against. So, argument for, against her being a dick, sorry.
Yeah.
She's just had an operation.
Yeah.
She's an intoxicated on painkillers.
Yeah.
And her friend's really drunk.
Yes.
Not good. And also has been smoking weed in her apartment, which I'd just be annoyed about.
Oh no.
For the smell.
I couldn't.
She's deeply humiliated at the thought of peeing herself from the start of the episode. So this is like worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Her husband just died and Che is her boss.
Yeah, true.
Argument for her being a dick.
Okay.
How she fucking speaks to Miranda.
Yes. Yeah.
So is cruel.
Yeah.
A lot of it. She only acknowledges Miranda may have a drinking problem now, but when Charlotte said it earlier and it wasn't affecting her, she just didn't care. Or was like, maybe it's not a thing. Miranda's cheating on her husband and says, I'm trapped. Like, this is her best friend. Who else does she talk to about this? And her best friend's like, what? I didn't know. How? And also, Miranda's just had her first queer experience and you are throwing shame fuel all over it.
So much shame.
Mm. Yeah, shame. Shame, 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 shame.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't want to like make this a podcast about addiction, but like yeah. that bit so importantly is like, we just know that so much of addiction and so much of like that kind of behaviour is yeah. just linked to shame.
Yeah.
And like, this is just such a problem with our society.
Oh my
in
God.
The way that we like
shame
I
people think into getting better.
It's like you hope that people watch that scene and go, Carrie, oh my God, that's not good.
No.
To be like, that's not how you should talk about it, because that's actually how most people do talk about it.
Yeah.
But I would probably think that most people watch that scene and kind of go, oh my God, like, well, I don't know.
That's the thing, because
there
the
are
person,
two sides.
The person who I spoke to about it was like, on Hinge, obviously, was like, oh no, I think Carrie's really justified in the reaction. And
really?
I was so taken aback, because in my head, if it was me, I would have been like, are you okay? I did just piss the sheets and I am really furious at you, of course, but you are drunk and stoned in my apartment, cheating on your husband and having your first queer experience. Like, that is so much bigger than what's going on with me. I guess her husband did just die, but I'd just be like, I'm really worried about you.
I think that's,
that would be my worry would outweigh like, my anger.
I would just be like, whoa, what the fuck was that?
Right?
I wouldn't be like, how dare you?
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh my, so yeah, while you were fucking my boss, I actually spilled my piss all over the bed.
Yeah, and you'd like have a giggle about it and then be like, okay, should we talk?
Yeah, like, what's going on? And could you pass me my painkillers?
Yeah, I mean, I get maybe she'd be, like, more angry about the cheating on her husband thing because she just lost her husband.
No, but, like,
but
you don't own anyone else's relationship. People can do what they want, and it's not your place to be like, how could you cheat?
Oh,
because there are a plethora of reasons why you would do that,
absolutely.
And you don't know what's going on in someone's personal life.
Yeah, so grim. That's it. Carrie is just so main character energy.
It's very moralistic of her to be like, how could you cheat on your husband?
Yeah, I think it is more realistic. I think that is actually quite...
Sorry, moralistic.
Oh, yeah, very moralistic.
Yeah.
And more realistic.
That's what people are. Like, people are so...
traditional.
Yeah.
That's so funny, because I feel like, as friendship group, we're so the opposite. Someone would be like, I killed someone. I'd be like, baby, you had to.
Baby, come here, sit down.
Baby, come here. Where's the body?
Come
I'll sort it out.
The
this
shovels.
Is not your problem. I've actually made a PowerPoint about why you should have done that 6 months ago. So, okay, back to it. So after this little sexual dalliance, Miranda, by this point, nicknamed Rambo by Che, which I just
cannot... Again, pass me by. Why is she called Rambo? Because of the screaming.
I don't care. I don't know. I don't care. I don't want to know.
Do you think it's the screaming?
I don't know. Does Rambo scream? I've never seen Rambo.
But yeah, I think Rambo does scream. Maybe there's a famous emo Rambo scream.
Oh my God, that's... Really...
If someone knows, DM us, but I just can't talk about it anymore because it cringes me out. It just gives me ick.
Oh, it makes me sad. I'm so annoyed.
I know.
But there is... Okay, no.
There are sexy moments.
So Miranda takes up their offer to DM them if she wants to chill again. But alas, doesn't receive a reply for 3 months. So Miranda tries to get Steve to recreate the fingering experience.
He can't even find a clitoris, can he?
Yeah, and apparently he's forgotten how to.
Or just never did it in the first place. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there.
Honestly, so bad. So Miranda just plods along like a heartbroken schoolboy until she sees Che 3 months later. They chat, realise that Che just missed her DM and all is rectified.
And they start shagging.
It's really bad that moment though, because Che is like, oh yeah, I smoke a lot of weed, I probably missed it.
Sure.
And it's just like, oh, that is like, that's a horrible
excuse. I get a lot of DMs and I smoke a lot of bud.
Yeah.
Anyway, so to quote Che, they were, quote, fucking pretty much non-stop for 3 weeks. Steve somehow didn't notice.
Oh God.
So it's not until Che realizes that Miranda's marriage actually isn't open and calls off their bonking that Miranda decides to tell Steve that she wants a divorce.
How did that conversation not come up?
I know. Yeah. Well, now I need help with this scene.
Oh,
please,
fantastic.
If you will. Who's gonna be
Miranda sort of tucks like
She's sort of like this and everything's fine. And she smiles on every line. She's
like, are you going to be Steve?
Can
yes, please be Steve.
Okay, wait. She's sort of the New York sort of like, oh, what? Like that.
It's really endearing. It's kind of like that.
Right, like that. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, he sort of talks like a child.
Yeah. Or a cartoon character.
He's a bit like Mickey Mouse if he was from New York.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay. Fantastic. Set the scene. It's really sad. It's really sad, really sad.
Hey, do you have your hearing aids in?
One of them?
Well, can you get the other? I want to talk to you about something.
We're just talking to this one.
I'd rather not have to yell it.
Okay, I think it's in the couch cushions. Ah, here it is.
Okay.
Okay. Shoot. What do you got?
Steve, I love you.
Well, this ain't good.
It depends how we handle it.
Oh, wait. You're serious? I was just kidding.
Give me your hands.
Nah, we never hold hands.
Please.
Why? You want to ask me for a divorce or something?
I'm not happy.
Oh, holy shit. I was just kidding again. Are you serious?
I can't do this anymore. I'm not happy.
What? Okay, so what does this mean? You're not happy?
This isn't enough for me.
What is it? Me? I'm not enough?
This is about me.
Well, except that you're talking about divorcing me. Can I have my hand back, please?
Are you happy?
I thought this wasn't about me.
Are you happy?
What's happy?
If you even have to ask the question.
Okay. Yes, I'm happy. I'm not happy right now, but what's the problem?
I want more.
More what?
More everything. More connection. More energy. More sex. More me. More, Steve. More.
I get it. You want more.
And what about you?
He's like a cartoon. He is.
But he is. Every time he opens his mouth, I'm like, is it a joke? And what about you? Do you want more? I mean, really, this is enough for you? This, like, TV and little dessert bowls and sitting on this fucking sectional couch till we're old.
We are old.
We're 55, Steve. That's not old. You want 30 more years of this?
Is this really happening? Really? Are you asking me for a divorce?
This is really happening. Really.
Miranda.
What?
That was perfect.
Miranda.
You and me, we've been together for a long time and it's always like this. You don't think that I'm enough. Then I'm kind of enough and then I'm not enough again. And I'm always there, you know? Hanging in there for us. And finally, in the last couple of years, we come to a place where it's not so goddamn fucking up and down every day. Where it's kind of the same. We get up, and we go through our shit, and we come back here, home to each other. We sit on the couch, we talk about Brady, eat ice cream, watch some TV. That's married life, Miranda. It's life.
I don't know if that's life. Oh, is there more? I don't know if that's life. Or the life that I want anymore. Or even ever.
Well, I guess this is about you. Because I'm fine with this life. In fact, I'm good with it. But if you're not, you're not. I'm too old to rally for us again. I don't want to.
And I don't want you to.
Okay. Whatever. Whatever, I want you to be happy, but I don't know what else you think is out there.
I've met someone.
Oh, it's devastating. And just so savage because, Annika, you won't know this, but Miranda was so savage to Steve when he cheated on her.
Yeah.
Oh, like, she put him through the ringer. And he was only sad about it for, like, a day. And Miranda, like, goes around listening to that podcast with a deranged smile on her face. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, it's sad.
So sad.
Steve. Oh,
poor Steve. Am I right?
He is a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I love that. I can't rally for us again.
I know. Oh. So sad. So after this, they delve into the Che and Miranda and potential polyamory. Like, yeah, very confusing. And definitely,
how do you think they handle that?
I think they didn't want to offend polyamorous people.
Right.
So
they've
basically written a really woke storyline where Che is polyamorous but isn't sleeping with anyone else. So they're navigating this, like, weird sort of open relationship. And I'm like, unless they basically break up in the next episode because of Miranda being unable to be polyamorous, I don't really, like, it's kind of,
right,
it doesn't feel,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So Che is polyamorous.
Yeah.
They don't just date a lot.
No. That's why they're like, I can't give you anything traditional.
I just feel like early, at least, they definitely are, like, laying the floor for...
Mm.
Like,
well, maybe we'll see it in the last episode.
Maybe.
Laying the floor for what?
For, like, maybe polyamory not being... I don't know. I just hope that they don't just make Che suddenly monogamous in the last episode because they like Miranda so much. I really hope they don't do that.
Mm. I don't think they will, but...
Yeah.
I actually want to hear what your predictions are.
The last episode.
Yes, and I also need to know your verdicts after that sweeping overview. You know, do you think there are any fuck people? And if so, who?
Oh, yeah, because this is the Fuckboy podcast, and I totally forgot.
Yeah.
So we'll come to that.
This was the
Sex and the City podcast. Yeah.
Well, we'll come to that right after this.
And just like that, we're back to the podcast.
Okay, so having heard most people's rap sheets, plus your knowledge of the show from having watched it yourselves, I just want to hear, yes or no, yay or nay, are the following people fuck people?
Okay.
Following characters, fuck people. Steve.
Nay.
Okay, thank God, because hashtag poor Steve. Lost what I'll say. Che.
Oh, yay.
To be decided. TBD.
Yay.
TBD.
I think they are.
I would say nay because I think that they are being really forthcoming. It's just that they are painted really sleazily.
I think that being like, you're not in an open relationship, this has to end.
Yeah.
Is like actually a definitive moment for me.
Yeah, that's true.
Not a fuck person.
Bit of a game changer.
Yeah.
Miranda.
Yay.
And finally, Carrie.
Yay. Yay.
Carrie.
Nay.
Why?
Pretending that her friends are her primary relationships and romantic relationships.
Yeah, Madam Narcissist.
Carrie can be a bit naughty to them. Her friends.
Because
of the way that she behaves.
She's a fuck girl to her friends. She puts herself in the centre of the narrative.
Okay.
Mm.
But I mean in like...
Romantic.
Well, she's also had this thing with this, which we haven't
with
discussed.
With the maths teacher.
Yeah, with the maths teacher, which you are yet to see. She has, oh my God, this tragic day where it ends up with them both puking all over each other. It was awful. But she's really back and forth with him. So potential fuck girl behaviour to come.
Yeah, although I thought it was cool that she showed up to the day and was like, I wanted to say this in person.
I'd be furious. I'd be like, fucking call me.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to get dressed up to turn up and someone be like, nah, mate.
Yeah, but you know Paul didn't get dressed up. He just threw on a fleece.
Actually, and Carrie looked spiffing.
She always looked spiffing.
Yeah. I said that on a voice note the other day and then was like, what?
Also, in the new series, can we please get Carrie and her next door neighbour to get together?
Oh my God. But that's like the younger version of Carrie. So it's like her getting with herself.
Hot.
when the tutu comes back.
Yes, bring it back.
That was the memorable moments for me.
So,
when did the tutu come back?
When she went back to her apartment and then she comes out and she's wearing her massive...
Oh, the big white tutu.
Yeah. Oh my God, incredible.
So, predictions for final episode?
I don't know if I have any predictions, to be honest. It's one of those shows that kind of just like wafts over me.
It's not super plot heavy, is it? It's drama heavy, but not necessarily plot.
Yeah.
Like, not that much happens. It's
just
more
stuff
like...
happens. It's like day-to-day drama.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, no plot.
What's my predictions? My predictions...
We haven't fucking watched our show, mate.
Yeah, I know. So, I'm going to give you my predictions. You can tell me whether or not they're right.
Okay.
Okay, so my predictions are that Miranda's son gets run over.
Yeah. I kind of hope that happens.
Snogging in the road. He's like kissing on the pavement and something happens. And they, like, go into the road and then he's run over.
Carrie...
Maybe becomes the boss of the podcast and it's really controversial. what else? The guy gets thrown off the podcast because he's so annoying.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Shay's career unravels because everyone realises really that they aren't a stand-up and don't actually tell jokes. Yeah, and then they run for president.
Yeah, that I've always loved.
And people rally behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then... finally, Big comes back in the form of a ghost, but they've cut it.
Okay, Kath, do you have a listener story for us?
I do. Short, sweet, and kind of Sex and the City vibes.
Mm. Sex and the City enough.
So it is just a reply that we got. Told me I could be a model, but not like a sexy one, but maybe like a store model.
What the fuck is a store model?
Like a mannequin?
Like a mannequin in the window.
Yeah. Okay, so I thought it was more like...
Oh, like a catalogue
model. Like a catalogue model.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so not like like a proper model, but like...
A catalogue model.
But I quite like the idea that
it's catalogue models are super hot.
Yeah.
I'd also take that compliment and be like, thank you.
I know.
And now buy me a drink and I won't sleep with you.
Or do they mean a store model like in when you used to go to Abercrombie and Fitch and there'd be those models? Like,
Maybe they are fire.
Yeah, they are.
Maybe I think it's slightly like you are fit and you could be a model, but like don't quit the day job.
Savage. You know? Absolutely not. Chuck him in the bin.
In the bin. Bye bye.
Goodbye.
All our resources are in the show notes. Please do check them out.
Next week, we're going from the streets of New York to the despicable villains of Disney.
In the meantime, you can help us by rating us and following the F-Boy podcast wherever you're listening.
And if you have your very own listener story, don't be shy. Be sure to send them to our submissions on our website at fboypodcast.com or slide into our DMs. We'd love to hear from you.
You can find even more fuckboyery on Instagram and Twitter at fboypodcast.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom Studios.
So watch out, Ursula, Gaston and Hades.
We're coming for you!